Craig McFarland, and I play Hubert Humphrey.
Rich McCoy, and I play Lyndon Johnson.
Tony Young, and I play Martin Luther King Jr.
So All the Way takes place the moments after John F. Kennedy is assassinated and kind of picks up with LBJ being sworn in as, I believe, the 32nd president of the United States. And it will follow the story of him trying to get through the Civil Rights Act of 1964 all the way up to his re-election in 1964. So kind of spans about 11 months, and it's just a really dynamic show that gives you kind of an inside look at all of these characters, either for better or for worse, really. And it's really dialogue-driven and a very direct show.
Are there other, like, major historical figures who...
Quite a few. It starts with people like J. Edgar Hoover, who has a dossier on King that he's continually referring to. It has... Illinois' own Senator Everett Dirksen, he appears quite a bit. And there are other notable politicians of the time, like Senator Richard Russell and Strom Thurmond and others that people will recognize the names, if not the faces.
And would you say you're like, you were familiar with this like the plot and the time?
I was. Long before I got the role of Lyndon Johnson, I've been quite aware of him. I remember vividly where I was when I heard that Kennedy was assassinated. I had campaigned as a young man for the Kennedy-Johnson ticket, so when that happened, that hit me deeply. And Johnson was my president when I was really in my formative years, my late elementary school and early high school years, so I watched him pretty closely. I remember watching his announcement on broadcast on television that he wasn't going to run for re-election in 68, so this is all pretty vivid to me. Plus, there's a multi-volume biography by Robert Caro on Lyndon Johnson that I've read most of, so I was pretty in tune with it when I finally got the character. Mm-hmm.
And Tony, what would you say your relationship was with the era that this play takes place?
Growing up in that era, I was able to witness firsthand, as I'm sure you guys were too, some of the issues dealing with civil rights, particularly in the community that I lived in. My family being from a church minister, so we really had a lot of activity going around.
Oh, you're a preacher kid?
I am a preacher's grandson.
I didn't realize that.
Yes.
Did you know that?
Yes,
no,
I am. And so we were really immersed in the civil rights movement at that time. And we were part of the good things that happened during the civil rights as far as being able to move forward and seeing some changes. So to do the play is actually an honor, particularly with the actors that are involved. So it's absolutely awesome.
Are there any aspects of the play that maybe in rehearsal or when reading it, you might have changed your view on some aspects of the era?
So what's really interesting is I was born in 86, so well after all of this takes place. And
what he's saying is he's a lot younger than me.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, the thing for me, I studied politics at UIS and love politics, and I was always a Kennedy guy. Bobby Kennedy is kind of like my political hero that I would always follow. And now... researching Hubert Humphrey and seeing everything that he stood for, came out for civil rights well ahead of anybody else in the Democratic Party, and really drove that issue, fought for that issue, fought for those mainstay liberal ideals that we come to think of today. And unfortunately for him, it seemed like Vietnam completely wrapped him up, and he's almost a bit forgotten in history because of that. But he is someone that, through studying, I think we all really should take another look at, because a lot of the programs and services and things that we have today, we can owe in big part to Hubert Humphrey. And it was interesting to find that out. And not that I'm not a Kennedy guy anymore, but Hubert Humphrey is definitely right up there now.
Would you say you'd have to be knowledgeable about the era or like a political history buff?
That's a very good question. Will this reach an audience that's not familiar with the time? It is told so entertainingly, well, that sounds too flip. It's so rich a script that people will be drawn into it, even those non-history buff types that just want a good drama. This has chock full of drama. Mm-hmm. And so it's something that will appeal to people that aren't looking for a history lesson.
Yeah, I can imagine it shows a different side of these people that
absolutely. Especially Johnson. Mm-hmm.
And on the line of what Craig said, dealing with Hubert Humphrey, in this play you'll see what a catalyst Hubert Humphrey was during the Civil Rights Movement, being that go-between between Dr. King and Lyndon Johnson, and being the gentleman that he was and the upright senator that he was known for his principles. And he wanted to make sure that if there was anything that was supposed to have been done, it was done. And he would argue with the president in regards to that if he didn't see it happening. So I think people will get a chance to see history come alive, because every role on this stage is history and it's factual. And what you will see is history alive. And I'm really impressed with everybody that we're working with. To see Rich transform into Lyndon Johnson and Craig become Senator Hubert Humphrey, it's just unbelievable. And then all the other actors. I have a group of senators that I truly despise.
It's a huge cast. It's huge cast. At least 30 people. I've lost count, actually.
36, I think you said we have. 36.
So. And, you know, not to leave Tony out at all, the end scene, one of the end scenes, is a discussion essentially going back and forth between the lines of LBJ at a rally and then Martin Luther King accepting the Nobel Peace Prize. And these two just completely embody those characters. I mean, it's in that. Obviously, you see it throughout the whole show, but it's almost like, for me, that's where you can tell that the amount of time that the two of you have put into these roles and just completely become those people. And it's pretty incredible to watch. And as Rich mentioned, there's a large cast. And, you know, what's interesting to me is some of the ideas that were actually proposed on the floor of the House and the Senate, just absolutely abominable ideas, just terrible ideas that were introduced, and some of the things that you come to learn about where we were just not that long ago. You know, this is still 50, 60 years old at this point, and it's good to see where we've come and where we still need to go.
I was thinking about reading this, how kind of the divide that this play highlights kind of has parallels to the divide that we're seeing today in America. Was that evident?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I mean, the Voting Rights Act of 1964, which is the centerpiece of Act One, is still under assault today. I mean, there are forces in our country that are trying to chip away all of those rights that we thought had been settled long ago. So, I mean, it's very, very relevant to what we're dealing with. And that's only one aspect of several issues that this play touches on. So, yeah, it's very relevant. It also speaks to the decline of compromise in political discussions. There was a time when politics was centered, based, founded upon compromise. And anymore, compromise has become a dirty word as the two parties have grown further and further apart and less likely to really even converse about issues, let alone compromise on issues. So it shows how the system should work, but usually doesn't.
I sense that compromise is like a major theme throughout the play, right?
Very much. Yes. It's interesting. I've started counting the number of times that Johnson insists that there has to be a compromise on this situation or that situation, and there's like a 7 or 8 times that within the course of the play he just casually reminds people, we've got to compromise on this issue or that issue. So compromise is a integral part of his political strategy, and it's one that just seems to have disappeared anymore.
This is a study in the times where senators and representatives would actually go out and have a beer together or whatever the case may be, and try to work out and pound out a deal. And that's something that is sorely lacking in our politics today. And there's also still a lot of issues, as Rich mentioned, in this play that are being touched on today. Certain, whether it be like the campaign rallies that George Wallace, played by Flynn Hanner's, marvelously done in the show. Some of that language that was involved in the 2016 election. You know, it's just really interesting to see how history truly does repeat itself.
One of the interesting aspects of the play, too, is that we're talking about 1964 primarily, and Vietnam is just mentioned a few times, but it's clear that it's going to be a problem. It's going to be something that, he's not going to deal with now. He says, let's get down to things that really matter, and kind of casting aside Vietnam at the time. And yet he knew, according to the tape transcripts that we can access, he knew even then that Vietnam was going to be impossible situation for him, but he didn't address it there. And the unfortunate thing about Johnson, he has such a rich legacy. There are so many things that he started, Medicare, Medicaid, even the National Endowment for the Arts, the basis of this studio right here, was started under the Johnson administration, but too many people just know him for Vietnam. I mean, that's the unfortunate legacy of his situation, is that, hey, LBJ, how many kids did you kill today, is all some people know about Lyndon Johnson. And that's so sad, because there's so much good that took place during those years of his presidency that Vietnam overshadows all of it.